The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, May the 13th. We're going to be breaking down AFC and NFC North win totals and futures on this podcast. It is part of Gambling Week. We're talking gambling for the 2020 NFL season. Tons of great content in the feed. Yesterday's show was RJ White. That was Tuesday's show. It was RJ White and I breaking down the AFC East and NFC East win totals. Monday's show was early week one picks with the Super Friends. We also had a bonus podcast with Nick Bogdanovich, William Hill's director of trading for Monday. If you go back and even look back last week, RJ and I broke down some awards that you should check out, like best bets for, you know, best long shots for MVP, defensive rookie of the year, et cetera, basically everything. We'll be doing two divisions per day for the rest of the week. Make sure and download, subscribe, and if you have a question about your team's offseason or anything that you want us to talk about, ask us any question. We'll be doing Mailbag Mondays in the frequent future. You can leave a five-star review, ask us a question, and we will answer it. Can be football related, life related, quarantine related, whatever you want to talk about. Also, make sure you watch our show this week on CBS Sports HQ, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch on your CBS Sports app, but if you, maybe you want to check out a new cool TV service the kids are all talking about, check out Pluto TV. I showed Pluto to my in-laws over the weekend and my brother-in-law blew their minds. Sherry, this is free. Carrie said, can you believe it? It's free. I know it's free. And you can watch, CBS Sports HQ on there. A bunch of cool channels. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles channel, Baywatch channel. Maybe you're into, comedy or horror films. They got all kinds of stuff. They got a Roblox channel that Ryan Wilson's kids could watch.
What happens on Roblox?
Roblox. R-O-B-L-O-X. Your kids not playing Roblox?
No, not that I know about. Maybe they are and I just don't.
Wait, how old are your kids again? I know this. I just
13 and 8.
Okay, that's what I was going to guess. That's pretty good by me. Yeah, how old's Robbie? How old's my son?
Six. He's six.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Robbie is big into Roblox, and there's some games on there that are not really kid-friendly. There's a character called Piggy who walks around with a baseball bat. Robbie's like, Piggy, Piggy! I'm like, oh, whoa, all right, let's back off of that. But it's like you build a 3D – anyway, we don't need to get into that. It's stupid. Kids like it. It's cool with the
– like Minecraft?
It's like Minecraft.
There we go.
You build your own. They have a Minecraft channel on Pluto too.
There we go. Now you're talking my 8-year-old's language.
It's 24/7 Minecraft.
Yowzers.
You can watch people play Minecraft 24/7 on the Pluto Minecraft channel.
Boom. Done.
What has this world, I mean, I don't even say what has this world come to. Like, I would have watched that as a kid.
Yeah, I would imagine not knowing what you do in your free time. You probably watch it now. So it makes perfect sense.
Fair, dog. That's fair. All right, let's talk the NFC North. This is and then we'll get to the AFC North, Ryan Wilson's home territory. But we'll start with the NFC North and the Green Bay Packers. Over under, Ryan Wilson, 9 wins for the Green Bay Packers. The over is -110. The under is -110. I presume we're both heading in the same direction here.
Well, let me start off by saying that John Breach last year picked the Packers to go to the NFC Championship game. For some reason, every time he talks about the Packers, he has to say that. And then he follows it up by dunking all over them. I'm going under.
By the way, I think you're correct when you say that the reason he does that is that he wants everyone – he doesn't want Packers fans to tweet at him angrily.
Right.
That's and be like, you hate our team. He's like, no. I picked you to be really good last year. So don't yell at me.
Which is stupid. I mean, no one cares about last year because last year's over. They went 13-3. We know about all that. I just don't think they were a 13-win team last year on paper. They made that work for them. And I just don't think this year they got better during the draft of free agency because they don't think wide receivers are important apparently. And I think Aaron Rodgers, well, I don't think he's a scrub. I think he's a top 7 or 8 quarterback. I think he'll probably play pretty well. I don't think he can do it by himself. He's 37 or whatever he is now. And I think the Vikings got better in that division. I mean, the Lions didn't get worse. I don't know if they're going to compete all of a sudden. And the Bears will be, feel like a 500 team as well. So I'm going under 9 wins just to make things interesting. Yes, they could go 12-4, but I'm going to go, I think 9 is actually a great, good number. I think they feel like a 9-7 team. I'll say they go 8-8.
So the North, the NFC North plays the two South divisions this year. They play the, AFC South and the NFC South as their, full crossover divisions or whatever. And I mean, I think when you look at this schedule, like the week 5 bye is not ideal. They start at Vikings, then get the Lions at home, at Saints and Falcons at home. Anything worse than 2-2 would be absolutely devastating for this team. I think they'll probably start 2-2 or 3-1. Seem fair?
3-1 would be a huge start.
Well, and bear in mind too that like the circumstances with which football is played, assuming it is played, would matter a lot for the Packers season because at Minnesota and at New Orleans are two of the toughest road games to play. If there's no fans in the stands, 4-0 is certainly on the table.
Yeah, fair enough. That's right.
Then they're at the Buccaneers and at the Texans after the bye. Not easy. Vikings at home, at 49ers, Jaguars at home, at Colts, and then have the Bears twice, the Panthers, Eagles. It's a pretty tough schedule.
As Kenny White talked about this, I know you mentioned home field advantage at some point on the CBS Sports HQ show last week, but a team, you mentioned the Saints who have a huge home field advantage. The Buccaneers probably have less of one because no one goes to those games or don't cheer quite as loudly. I think maybe the Buccaneers have a better, have a better chance of winning those home games because the home field advantage isn't really what it is for the, say, the Saints.
I think that's 100% correct.
Boom. Whether it's true or not, I'm going to take it as my own.
You should roll with that. The Packers had a bunch of one score wins last year. A lot of them. I'm counting, I think I have them at 6-1.
Wow.
Do you count, do we say, I think we count 8 points as one score wins.
That's fine. Yep.
Yeah, I think so. If you include the victory of the Seahawks in the playoffs, you've got, well, we won't do that. That seems unfair. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8-1 in one score games last year.
That'll be hard to replicate.
That will be difficult to replicate. Aaron Rodgers is the most curious case of, like, and we've talked about this with Sean almost to the point where I don't want to talk about it anymore. And it does feel like beating on Rodgers, like when we start to talk about his decline, because all right, let me ask you this. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers is concerned how he will be perceived publicly if his stats take a huge hit?
Yeah. I mean, but I think most quarterbacks, Tom Brady probably feels the same way.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is playing scared when it comes to throwing interceptions because he wants his stats to be really good? Like he has 19 interceptions in the past 4 years.
Well, here's how you can figure that out, I think, without asking Aaron Rodgers. Who plays more scared, Aaron Rodgers or Tyrod Taylor? Neither of those guys throw a lot of interceptions.
I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is Tyrod Taylor, the Packers have a problem.
But he's not, though, because he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. He does a lot of things off script. I think it's what gets people angry, like coaches. But I don't think it's a lack of taking chances. I think he takes a lot of chances, and he just I think he has good misses, just anecdotally. But he ain't Tyrod Taylor in terms of just taking care of the ball, turn around, handing it off. Let me ask you this, though. A.J. Dillon, their second-round pick, the running back who everyone thinks they took too early. What if he's 85% of Derrick Henry?
Yeah. Now, I don't know. I would say 75.
Well, let's split the difference. 80. But the point is, what if he brings that type of offense? And that's the – they didn't get a wide receiver, but they got a running back who does Derrick Henry-type work at 75 to 80% of what Derrick Henry does.
I mean, and look, one of those dudes in the – like whether it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Alan Lazard – Geronimo Allison's gone now. Who else? There's one more. Jake Kumerow. Like, it's not crazy that one of those guys might take a leap.
Jay Sternberger, their tight end.
So. Yeah, Sternberger. Yeah, I mean, tight end, you know, rookie tight end. You can't expect him to do a lot. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think there's a lot of upside for this offense. But you look at this team, they went 13-3, and they were a 9.7 win team by point differential.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
I mean, This is, I mean, like, I think you have to take the under here.
A nine is still, I wish it were 9.5, but yeah, I'm going to take it and see what happens. And all people that are angry at me or Brinson, please text or please tweet at John Breach.
That's right. At John Breach, one word. We know you hate the Packers. We're coming for you, Breach. You and your little family. too much. The Packers, by the way, are the favorites to win the division at +140, 9-1 to win the NFC and 18-1 to win the Super Bowl. I wouldn't touch those with your wallet.
And you're the guy who took Trent Williams to win comeback player of the year.
That's right. 148. I like long shots. Love a long shot. Next up, the Minnesota Vikings, the same over under 9 wins, the under slightly juiced -115 and the over -105. What do you think, Wilson?
Going over. I think I'm going to pick the Vikings to win the division by the time we get around to some actual football. They have a lot of holes, though. I mean, they did a lot of in terms of replacing those holes, but we'll have to see how those young guys translate quickly. I think it starts with Justin Jefferson, their first-round pick, to replace Stephon Diggs. But they drafted Ezra Cleveland. They need help along the offensive line. They got him. They also got Jeff Gladney, the cornerback, and I think that was their other first-round pick. And I think counted 7 defensive players, defensive backs they drafted or signed as undrafted free agents a couple weeks ago. So they're clearly focused on that. And I think on paper, they've certainly done more than what the Packers did. At the end of the day, as always, it comes down to whether we're going to see Kirk or Kirby.
He's got Kirk. I think he's earned Kirk now.
We'll see. I mean, it depends on the day.
So the schedule wise, I think we might very well know. I hate to say that we'll know what the Vikings are with the way they've reworked things, but I think we'll have a pretty good idea by their week 7 bye. They open up at home against the Packers in week 1, at the Colts in week 2, Titans at home in week 3, at the Texans in week 4, at the Seahawks in week 5, and then Falcons at home in week 6. Only one of those, by the way, primetime, the rest of them at 1 p.m. games. I mean, I don't think 4-2 is not unreasonable for that stretch, but I wouldn't be stunned if they were 2-4 either.
Yeah.
I think with this team, to me, you look at this roster and the defense is much better than people are giving it credit for. Does that seem fair?
We'll see. On paper it is, but they're all young, or most of them are young, so that's the issue. Because they got rid of Xavier Rhodes, Mackenzie Alexander, and what's his name, Trey Waynes, guys who all contributed at varying levels last year, but were good at certain points. So you got to figure that out pretty quickly. And can you bring in 3 or 4 rookies and have them come in and step in right away? That's the question. But they do have Harrison Smith. They have Anthony Harris. They said they were thinking about trading him. I don't know if they can do that. Mike Hughes is still there too.
Okay. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a top 10 defense, and I wouldn't be surprised if it fell off a cliff a little bit.
Yeah, I think this is more of a risk taking the over here than saying that the Packers are going to win 9 games. But I think, man, they have a chance to be a good team. They weren't bad last year.
I would rather back the Vikings, I think, than backing the Packers.
Well, put it to you this way: if you switch quarterbacks, this is a 12-win team. The concern is Kirk Cousins.
I don't know. I don't think Cousins is bad. I don't think Aaron, either,
but you never know. Like, you know what you're getting with Aaron Rodgers for the most part. Kirk Cousins.
8-1 in 1-score games. That is the Vikings that is, the Packers that is, excuse me, is the absolute like pinnacle. Hey, this team is going to fall off a cliff. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, again, just the offensive players, Adam Thielen, Justin Jefferson, Kyle Rudolph, Irv Smith Jr., B.C. Johnson. Like, these are people that don't exist except for Devontae Adams in Green Bay.
that's fair. By the way, the Vikings last year went 2-4 in 1-score games, 10.7 expected wins, and they finished 10-6. So those profile as a team that could take a step forward. I think part of the problem for them too is like, all right, what are we going to get out of Justin Jefferson from the perspective of, you know, how does he work? Like, are they going to use him properly? Are they going to use him as a slot guy? Cause Adam Thielen's kind of a slot guy too. Like, is are they expecting Justin Jefferson to be their outside guy? Cause that's not what he was good at with LSU last year. Can Dalvin Cook stay healthy? And if something happens to him, can Alexander Mattison and Michael Boone run well behind what has been a fairly questionable offensive line? Ezra Cleveland is a big help there potentially, but I don't know. I just think that if that run game works, and Gary Kubiak would be the OC. If that run game works, I think this offense can be really good. If not, then this team could have some major struggles.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I did ask Justin Jefferson about exactly that. Can you play anywhere other than the slot? He goes, yeah, just watch my first year at LSU playing a lot. I played outside mostly, and I can beat man coverage, so I feel okay with that. So we'll see if that translates.
All right. Very excited discussion about the Vikings from Ryan Wilson. The Bears over under 8.5. The under minus 150. My goodness. The over plus 130. Now, you know, when you give your analysis here, note that you're getting some value if you take the over at 9. Like, 9 wins and you're getting plus 130. You know, you got to lay a buck 50, which is a lot to take the under there.
This team ain't winning 9 games. I mean, maybe. They're not. They're not winning my 9 games with Mr. Trubisky.
The sad thing about this team is that they talked themselves, like, you could hear it in Sean's voice. He has talked himself into the idea that, no offense, Debo, Nick Foles is going to save this team. But it ain't going to happen.
If Nick Foles can't save Jacksonville in 85 degree weather, I don't know why he's going to come to Bears team and save a team that doesn't have a ton of weapons, unless you consider Jimmy Graham a weapon. So they have Allen Robinson, they have Cordarrelle Patterson, who's, you know, running back and a kick returner as much as he is a wide receiver threat. Anthony Miller, Ted Ginn, they just signed. I mean, come on. Cole Kmet, they got in round 2, and you could argue maybe they got him too early. If he's Travis Kelce, they didn't, but I don't know if he's going to be Travis Kelce. And then, of course, they signed Jimmy Graham to that $40 billion a year contract. I'm going under. It doesn't matter if it's Mr. Trubisky, and I feel like Ryan Pace is going to try to stick with Trubisky as long as possible because that's his name is written all over that.
And I think I get that people are expecting Nick Foles to be the starter. I'm with you. I think that Trubisky will win this job.
Yeah. So I'm going under 8.5. How's this team winning 9 football games?
So looking at their schedule, they open up at Lions, Giants, at Falcons, then Colts and Bucks at home. That's not a terrible start to the season. Like 3-0.
It could be 3-0. That's right.
Yeah, 3-0 is certainly on the table. Then they're at the Panthers, at the Rams. That's a tough little I guess it's not bad if you're in Chicago. You fly to Charlotte, back to Chicago, then fly to LA and back. Then go to the break, Saints at Titans, Vikings. Again, like, a lot depends on how you think the AFC South will be. Like, if the Texans are a good team and the Titans are good again, this is going to be a problematic schedule, you know?
Yeah, that's why I actually see the over-unders and in my mind, think about the football team and then look at the schedule. Cause you just don't know how these teams are going to be, to your point. I mean, the Titans could be terrible. The Saints could be an 8-8 team. Unlikely, but you just don't know. Like, teams that we think are going to be good at this point, typically, I mean, I was going to say the Giants in week 2. Maybe they're going to be a good football team. I don't see that happening, but, maybe the Falcons are better. You just don't know. But either way, I don't care if every team on this schedule is 4 games worse than we thought. The Bears are still going best case 8-8.
Okay. Plant your flag. I mean, I think that the money tells you should take the under. I don't see, I mean, let's be real generous. You're getting 3-1 out of the gates, 4-2 when they lose to the Bucks and beat the Panthers, 4-3 lose to the Rams, 4-4 Saints, 4-5 Titans. I'll give them a Monday Night Football game against the Vikings. So you're 5-5 heading into the bye. It's at home, Viking, Kirk Cousins and Monday Night Football against a good defense. Seems like a recipe for Cousins melting, which means you have to win 4 of your final 6 games and you're at Packers, Lions at home, Texans at home. Maybe that's 2 wins at Vikings, at Jaguars, Packers. I think everything has to break right for them to go 9-7.
Okay. Well, you better turn it to Nick Foles earlier rather than later.
Yep. Moving along, the Detroit Lions, and by the way, the Bears, I skipped over this, apologies. Bears are 4, we'll talk division odds in a second. Detroit Lions over under 6.5 wins, over minus 130, under plus 110.
The under's plus 110?
Mm-hmm.
Who made these odds? Matt Patricia? This team has won 3 games the last 2 years, I think, right?
That is correct.
And they're suddenly going to win 7 games?
That is what Vegas is trying to tell us.
I understand that Matthew Stafford was hurt last year for much of the season, but come on, man. Come on, bruh. Is that what they say? Look, I love Kenny Golladay. I love Marvin Jones. I love the idea of DeAndre Swift in round 2. I like that in all the millions of mock drafts that I did. On paper, they got better. They got Jeff Okuda, number 3 overall. That was an easy pick. They got Julian Aquara, I think, in rounds 2 or 3. The edge rusher out of Notre Dame. But at the end of the day, Matt Patricia, has he learned anything from the first 2 seasons? I know they're on the hot seat, he and Bob Quinn. I'm going under. 6.5 is more than doubling their win total. They've won 6 games the last 2 years, and suddenly they're going to double that up in 1 year.
Yeah, not a great schedule to start. Bears at home, at Packers, at Cardinals, Saints at home before a week 5 bye. Like, I think 2-2 is you give yourself a pat on the back and you're fighting for life there. At Jaguars, at Falcons, out of the break. Colts at home, at Vikings, Redskins, at Panthers, Texans is a nice little stretch there. Like, you could reel off 2 or 3 wins at Bears, Packers at home, and then they close at Titans, and then the Buccaneers, and then the Vikings at home. So, man, I'll take the over on this one, not by a ton.
But I know you don't off the top of your head. Is there an easy way to find out what the over-under was a year ago for this team?
5.5, I'm pretty sure.
Maybe. I mean, they get there with Matthew Stafford being healthy, so you can make an argument.
They're supposed to go 6. They're supposed to be 6-10 based on their expected win-loss record.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they're supposed to be 6-0 based on John Breach's revisit.
You know, it says 6.5 last year. All right, there you go.
Okay, so it's the same as last year with Matthew Stafford healthy. And I think
they could have been, like, they could have been 5-0. Like, they lost to the Chiefs by 4 points, and they had the Chiefs taken care of. They lost to the Cardinals in a game. There's no excuse they should have lost.
They lose or tie that game. That was a tie game?
They tied that game, excuse me. But remember, Patricia called that play, or like, he called timeout as Stafford was bootleg, or like, hit the guy on a, maybe it was who's the old guy for the Seahawks?
Receiver?
No, the running back. I'll tell you a second. It was J.D. McKissick. He hit McKissick on that little flat route, and McKissick's like gonna saunter for 60 yards, and all of a sudden Patricia's out on the field calling timeout, and then immediately, like, the Cardinals somehow find a way to come back in that game. It was pretty devastating. But yeah, I mean, I just think that I think this team could be better, and I don't.
Yeah, look, if Stafford was healthy last year, I think 6-7 wins is certainly realistic. So yeah, I could see it. I'm just going under based on the fact that he's not done a very good job as coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's a reasonable thing. I look at this roster and I just don't know what is good on the roster.
Well, like I said, Galladay's awesome.
Yeah, I think Galladay's underrated, and he's, you know, going into his 3rd year.
I think Jones and Galladay, both Marvin Jones, are. I think this is the final year of their deals too.
Galladay should be still in his rookie deal, so he should have one more
after this year.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think they both maybe have one more. That's what it is. And DeAndre Swift has a chance to be really good too, because he's a weapon as a pass receiver out of the backfield. So that's good.
You're right. I'm sorry. Galladay's going to his last year was his 3rd.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I remember looking during the football season because I was doing these mock drafts about whether they should take a wide receiver at some point. So there's that. And I like what they did on defense in terms of. Got the best cornerback in the draft and got a really athletic edge rusher. So, plus, when you grade out all these drafts.
Well, let me ask you this. If this team was coached by Jim Caldwell, what would you do?
They would go 9-7.
would you take it?
I'd take the over 6.5. It went 9-7 in back-to-back years. And you could argue that those teams were just as mediocre as these teams.
I mean, that team completely melted down. Like, again, they could have been that loss to the Packers on that Monday night in week 6 after their bye, where the garbage BS, like, that completely derailed their season. They won one more game after that against the Lions.
I mean, last year?
Remember week 5?
Well, that and losing the quarterback didn't help either.
Yeah, then Stafford got hurt. Absolutely. But I mean, like, that derailed their season pretty badly.
Didn't help.
No, it didn't help.
But I will say this. If you look at the draft class, sort of do it by division, The NFC North draft classes were far and away the worst. Packers brought down that average by a lot. But the Vikings,
I think the NFC North off seasons by far were the worst.
But the Vikings did okay in terms of addressing needs in the draft. That's basically all you're doing. The Bears only had like 1.5 picks. And the Lions did a good job addressing needs too. It's just a matter of did you do enough. So, yeah, the Lions could win 7 games. But recent history says, Matt Patricia got some work to do.
I will take the over. I don't know why I'm trusting in.
Look, if Stafford stays healthy, yeah. And they drafted a couple offensive linemen, so hopefully that helps too.
Okay. Okay. By the way, so division win totals. The odds to win the division. Packers plus, we got to pick something from the division odds. Or you don't have to pick something. Is there anything you like in terms of Super Bowl, NFC, or division odds? Packers plus 140, Vikings plus 150, Bears 4.5-1, Lions 8.5-1 to win the division. NFC 9-1 Packers, 14-1 Vikings, 20-1 Bears, 50-1 Lions, and then Super Bowl 18-1 Packers, 28-1 Vikings, 40-1 Bears, 100-1 Lions. Anything that catches your eye?
Nothing super sexy. 150 plus 150 for the Vikings to win the division. I mean, look, if you put 18-1 down on the Packers to win the Super Bowl, I guess I like that better than any other team there, but I'm not going to do it. I'll just do one plus 150 on the Vikings to win the division. All the other stuff is wasting money.
This will sound crazy and you guys can make, I'll probably do it before the season. You can make fun of me afterwards. I'll take the Lions at 8.5-1 to win the division.
Okay.
Like Rodgers could fall off a cliff, get in a fight with Matt LaFleur. F you. Debo chats me. Garrett Bradbury, comeback player of the year? coming back from
By the way, Debo makes fun of you. That means you are solely deserving of it because he's very, he doesn't like to do that.
But. Yeah, when Debo's dunking on you in Slack at a Garrett Bradbury pick, it's tough.
We'll forget about that after the Trent Williams pick, so don't worry about it.
It wouldn't be crazy if this Trent Williams thing happens, I'm dunking all over you.
You said that last year about Garrett Bradbury, and you will deserve dunking all over it. But I mean, there are better odds of you getting hit in the head by an asteroid and surviving than Trent Williams winning comeback player of the year.
That's not true.
I feel like it is.
No, I mean, like hitting the head with an asteroid in the first place is like 1 billion to 1.
Exactly. That's my point.
It's like 2 billion to 1.
I think if you got 3 billion to 1 on Trent Williams, I'd be okay with it. Anything under that is
pretty good. I would like to bet $1 on Trent Williams at 3 billion to 1.
I will take that bet. I will take it.
You will. Oh, wait. Oh, will you really?
3 billion to 1, yes.
No, see, that's too much. You wouldn't pay it.
Of course not. I can't. But I told you, if you pay me $25 on the odds that you got for the original Trent Williams, but I'll take that too.
140 to 1?
Yeah. I'll take $25 on that. I said, anytime you have those kind of stupid bets, let me take them.
I'm tempted to do it. What do you think, Debo?
That's a lot of money for Ryan to pay out.
How confident do you feel that Trent Williams is?
I'm the one.
$3,500.
Yeah, I think that's fair, actually. I was the one dunking on Will for, making that pick. I mean, an offensive lineman's not going to win. So Ryan, you're safe, but what would it take, Will? Like you went over this, but for an offensive lineman to even be considered,
you would have scored like 10 touchdowns.
No, I think the 49ers would have to be the best offense in football. And their run game, you'd have 2,000 yard rushers. And it's like, you know what? Like Trent Williams missed an entire year of football because the Redskins are a-holes and he came back from Dan Snyder. Like that's
But let's continue this thought process. So they're the best offensive football, which means Garoppolo throws for 5,000 yards, which means those two guys rush for 1,000 yards, which means Debo Samuels and Brandon maybe receive 1,000 yards, but you're going to give it to the left tackle who came over after not playing a year.
What are those other guys coming back from?
Yeah, it's all narrative. And
And when there's think pieces being written in, it's like Brinson hadn't written in 9 months and all of a sudden he's just nonstop Trent Williams typing.
But it's just how is he going to get it without being able to quantify all that above someone like a Phillip Rivers? If he improves his touchdown to interception ratio just a little bit.
I'll qualify it with this. If Big Ben throws for 4,500 yards or more and the Steelers make the playoffs, then we're not even having a discussion. Like Ben will stroll to it.
And Ben's 20-1, I think.
Three to one.
Oh, he's 3-1?
Yes, he's the favorite.
Oh, I'm thinking MVP. Never mind.
If Rob Gronkowski catches 10 touchdowns, after missing football for a year and the Buccaneers win the NFC South, he's cruising to it.
If Myles Garrett doesn't try to murder someone on the football field, it's all him.
Myles Garrett can manage to play 16 games without attacking Mason Rudolph. You know, he's
Oh, is he listed in the odds?
Yeah, he's like,
it's like 25 or something. Like
25 to 1.
Comeback player.
See, that's the problem. It's like, are they really going to reward this guy from coming back for being, like, Trent Williams had a brain tumor?
Not a brain tumor. I don't think he had a brain tumor, did he? He had something on his head, like a, whatever it is. Yes, he's coming back.
It's not benevolent. What is the benevolent?
Penelope. It's not Penelope.
Penelope brain tumor. No, he had a, he had a benign brain tumor that the Redskins doctors misdiagnosed. I'm telling you, people are going to be wanting to give this guy some hardware if he comes back and he plays 16 games and the 49ers offense is awesome.
Well, I would argue that Garrett Bradbury should be in the conversation too, because you cursed the crap out of him last year and he's coming back from that.
Right. So, or like, or maybe the Vikings. I cursed the, you know, Kirk Cousins. I cursed them.
I mean, if you look at the Ryan Tannehill coming back from being on the Dolphins and not being good at football, Andrew Luck coming back from injury, Keenan Allen, Jordy Nelson, Eric Berry, who went out for some serious medical stuff as well. Safety is not the same as offensive line, though. Then you go Gronk, Rivers, Peyton, Stafford, all that stuff.
Get to the offensive lineman that got there.
Okay, I'm scrolling up, scrolling down.
It's all narrative-based, though.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. The only guy who doesn't get it that's not narrative or injury based is Phillip Rivers. And he just came back from a crappy season where he threw like 30 picks.
Here's like Tommy Maddox won in 02. Is that coming back from the XFL or like what? I don't.
He was out of the league and he was selling insurance and then he had to overcome the odds of beating out Cordell Stewart, if I recall correctly, without looking.
Right, you're telling me he was not playing for a year.
Yeah. No, he didn't come back from injury or anything.
No. He won in 02. No, he played in 01.
No, the XFL was 01.
But he was with the Steelers in 01.
That's when they signed him. They signed him in like midway through 01, I want to say, and then Cordell struggled. And
look, I don't disagree with you. The problem here is the quantifiable stats for Trent Williams. It's going to be difficult. But like, I think in 2000.
If he gets 50 pancake blocks, then he'll win it.
But like in 2020, you have stuff where like PFF will tweet out like our highest graded lineman in 5 years with zone blocking runs is Trent Williams. And all of a sudden there's like buzz building. Like the 50 old white jabronis who are voting for this thing will give him.
I'll owe you $3,400.
All right. So the bet is on.
Yeah, of course.
All right. 25. It's 3,500 and I owe you 25.
That's right. And you owe me five more for the Mr. Trubisky.
I owe you 30 for the Trubisky thing. Just pay up at the end of the season. All right. Anyway, I think we got there because I was talking about taking the Lions to win the division.
Yeah, you said Lions. I said I was the only one to take one plus 150 on the Vikings winning the division. Nothing else.
Yeah, 8.5 to 1. I wouldn't go heavy on it, but I don't think it's that bad of a bet just because I can envision a scenario where the Packers, Vikings, and Bears are all like, you know, 7-9 or 8-8 and the Lions somehow stumble to 9-7 and Caldwell their way to the playoffs.
That's much more likely than Trent Williams. I can see that happening.
But that's why it's 8.5 to 1 and not 140 to 1.
There you go.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk the AFC North and why Ryan loves the Steelers to win 16 games this year.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former sports center anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
All right, AFC North time, and we start with the defending AFC North champions and the defending number one seed in the AFC. Maybe the best team in football last year that didn't win a single playoff game. The Baltimore Ravens, their over-under, Wilson, is a shockingly high number, 11.5. The over minus 105, the under minus 115. Do you have the huevos to take the under on the Baltimore Ravens?
Oh, I thought you were going to say the over, because 11.5 is a lot of football games. I'm trying to, so they were 14-2 last year, right? I think that's what they ended up being.
Yes. In fact, they were 2-2 after getting stomped by the Browns in Baltimore in week 4 and then didn't lose again the rest of the regular season.
Right. I'm going to take the over. It just, I don't know how this team is so much better on paper, and I don't know what NFL defenses are doing to figure out Lamar Jackson until I see it. I mean, you saw it twice with the Chargers and the Titans, but the Titans did it basically with Derrick Henry. I don't think it was as much to do with the defense as it was with that offense dragging the Ravens up and down the field. And then the previous year, it's hard to replicate what the Chargers did with all those linebackers, because not every team has that capability. I'm going over 11.5. It seems like a lot. I think I just don't see this team win 11 football games. I think they can do a lot more than that. So
part of the thing too is, with Baltimore and Sean, I think Sean made a good, we don't like to give Sean any credit on this podcast, but he made a good point when he noted that the Ravens were big winners in the coaching search situation, because they retained both Greg Roman and Don Wink Martindale as their offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, respectively. That's a huge deal going into an offseason where we might not have a lot of training camp, offseason training activities. We don't know. It's a lot of unknown as it relates to the offseason. So to have that continuity is A, it's a problem. You know, it's a big boost for them, but B, it's a problem for other teams, because think how many defensive coordinators are new on these other teams. The people are relearning new defenses and having to adjust to Lamar Jackson. You can watch all the film you want on him. I don't know that it matters. Like, you still have to defend him passing the ball and him running the ball. Like, the Titans did a great job of it, but how many teams have that power run game and Dean Pease's pieces that they can utilize against Lamar Jackson out of the gate?
Another sort of secret win. I just noticed this. I think that I'm double checking here. I think the two teams they have to play as being, by virtue of being number one in the AFC North, are the Patriots and then the Chiefs. Well, guess what? Tom Brady ain't playing for the Patriots anymore, so that game got considerably easier. That's basically the third place game now in that division with Jared Stidham there. And you can say,
I mean, it's a big, you have to go to New England and play, and it's a big win to get them.
That's right. Would you rather face Matt Castle in New England or Tom Brady is basically what we're asking here. So that's a huge win for them in terms of the win total, if nothing else. Obviously, it helps them playoff race and the seedings and all that. But, I mean, typically the Patriots, and they host the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are the team they face as being the number one team.
They play the Texans in Houston in week 2 at 4:25 Eastern time. And that's the last time that they will leave the Eastern time zone for the entire year.
Yeah, and the thing is about that game, they'll be back in the Eastern time zone at 6:25 at halftime, because that game will be over. Yeah. It'll be 50-0.
I mean, they play the Browns in week 1 at the Texans, Chiefs at home in week 3. I don't think it's out of control that they go 1-2 in those games.
And then that's a wrap. Everything else is just easy street.
Then it's at Redskins, Bengals, at Eagles, and Steelers. So, I mean, I if you're picking the total worst case Armageddon scenario for the Ravens, they're 3-4 going to their week 8 bye. At Colts, at Pats, 1-1 is possible, likely there. Titans at Steelers, Cowboys at Browns, Jaguars, Giants at Bengals. Like, they're going to win probably their last 4 games.
In May they are, but a month into the season, this is all going to change. based on, you know, how terrible these teams are and how good
they are. I was saying the Browns, Jaguars, Giants, and Bengals just aren't going to be, like, I think the Ravens are beating.
No, right. The final four, you're right. I'm just thinking about, I mean. Well,
so, I guess my point is, like, you need to find, you need to look at the schedule, say, all right, that's four wins. Where are the other eight? And if they come out and start 2-1 or 3-0, you're in, and then, you know, win three of four going to the bye. You got five. That's nine. You're in pretty good shape. You got to figure out three between Colts, Pats, Titans, Steelers, and Cowboys.
Yeah. And as I look, I said easy for you for those first two games. The first seven games before the bye aren't necessarily easy. And, the Colts coming out of the bye on the road isn't easy either. But again, this team won 14 games and saved the first two games you talked about. And then the Steelers game with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph that was somehow close in Pittsburgh. They pretty much had their way with every other team.
Yep. And, worth noting too that the, they went, you know, 14-2 last year. They were a 13 win team based on expected win totals. So they outkicked their coverage a little bit, but they're still an expected 13 win team. And they had that stretch where they went Pats at Bengals, Texans at Rams, 49ers at Bills, and then Jets at home. And they were like plopping up 42 points per game with ease.
And oh, by the way, this team was my number one team in terms of ranking all the draft classes.
Yep.
J.K. Dobbins, Devin Duvernay, the slot receiver. They got two interior offensive linemen to try to replace, what's his name that retired?
Marshall Yonda.
Marshall Yonda, thank you. They got one of the best interior defensive linemen in Justin Madubuike. They got Patrick Queen in the first round. They got another thumper linebacker, Malik Harrison, in round three, I think, so they got him. I mean, this team is better than the last year's team.
Yep. Friend of the podcast, Marcus Peters, back for next year as well.
Yeah, I mean, that trade compared to the Jalen Ramsey trade is an embarrassment to what the Rams did.
Yep. I'm with you, man. I wouldn't take their under because I wouldn't want to be fading the Ravens, but I think it's probably just a stay away because the number's so high. But I mean, they could be at 10 wins and, you know, you got 6 weeks left in the season and you realize what a moron you are. Steelers over under
nine. One thing quickly though. So, let's say, I don't like to say people get hurt. Let's say Lamar Jackson takes a trip to the moon in the middle of football season. How many games you winning with RG3?
Nine, max.
I feel like, yeah, you're winning at least eight games with RG3.
It's a really good team, and they'll figure out a way to deal with it. But like,
and he's running the same offense.
Yeah. Well, you said middle of the season, so I'm assuming that they're like.
Well, if he's not, let's say he goes to the moon in August and comes back in January.
Oh, I'll say 8-8 or 9-7.
Yeah. No, I think that's right.
And look, Lamar Jackson getting hurt isn't out of the realm of possibility either. I mean, that's he plays a way that, you know, it could.
He needs to be a little more like Russell.
Yeah. Steelers over under nine wins. The over minus 120. The under plus 100. The Steelers broke my heart last year.
Huh.
I was right about the idea that the Browns weren't the team to be watching in that division. I was wrong that the team to watch was Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, we figured that out 6 quarters in when Roethlisberger's arm didn't work.
About 2 quarters in when they were getting smothered by the Patriots.
The Patriots. Yeah, we knew. Okay, Breach. I'm surprised Breach doesn't call them the Patriots. I knew that. Everyone knew they weren't winning that game. But here's the thing. So as a homer, I'm taking the over. But again, if you look at Mike Tomlin's record in Pittsburgh, he's never had a losing record. Last year, he went 8-8 with the two clown shoes playing quarterback. So if Roethlisberger is 75%, and part of me thinks that he was probably, his arm wasn't great at the end of 2018 because he had a lot of picks in 20. I think he led the league in picks in 2018.
He led the league in passing attempts in 2018. So I think if you go back and look anecdotally, there's a little bit of a history of when somebody has that over 625 passing attempts.
Jeez, mercy.
At that age, that it tends to wear on them the following year.
Yeah. It tends to break your arm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think, Juju's going to come back and have a better year for obvious reasons. James Conner is going to be healthy, hopefully, and be able to make that work. The defense is going to be really good, even though one of my favorite players now plays for Debo's Eagles and Javon Hargrave. They got Chase Claypool in the draft. So they're going to have weapons. And I think as long as Roethlisberger, oh, by the way, did you see what, Jay Glazer recanted?
No, did he walk back? He get a text from BigBen7.com.
Well, he and Tomlin are close, and I don't know what the conversation was after Glazer said he was a fat body who didn't do anything other than one yoga class, drink a bunch of beer, and play golf. But he walked it back and said he was just joking. So I don't know where he heard that. What precipitated the walk back? But
oh no, he talked to Ben on the phone.
Oh, he did. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Let's see. What did he say? He said.
Just kidding. Talking about previous versions of Ben.
So. I talked to Roethlisberger today. He's definitely passionate about his rehab. My comments about him were more poking fun of him for what he's done in the past. He's really getting after his rehab.
Uh huh. Yeah. Ted Kaczynski, the Ted Kaczynski workout with that beard. Maybe he's moving logs around the yard or something. But,
right, here's what he said. He wrote this on theathletic.com in his mailbag. And these mailbags from Glazer are awesome because he says like whatever he's really thinking. And he predicted an Odell Beckham trade in a mailbag. And it happened for the Giants and the Browns. If Big Ben wasn't as upset as you guys are, why would you guys get this upset? Now, as far as Roethlisberger, I called Ben. I talked to him about it as a man because if I think someone is going to be upset about something that I said, I'm going to call him. My statement about Ben got pulled way out of whack as if I was talking about his current rehab. Where did I say anything about his current rehab? I never did. What I wrote was, quote, his idea of a great off-season workout program is doing one yoga session, playing golf, and drinking some beer. I was making fun of him for his past workouts, which he'd readily admitted had been him in the past. In fact, when I called him, I said, yes, this is your yoga, golf, and beer instructor calling because he and I often bust each other's balls.
There you go.
The one thing I want to clarify because it wasn't fair to Ben is I never talked about his commitment to this rehab. He has been committed. Roethlisberger told me the other day he's been training his butt off doing his rehab and how important it is to him. He wants to come back better than he was before. This is the first time he's ever dealt with something like this. So he's thrown himself into this rehab.
Over 9, baby.
Okay. Yeah, I would probably go over Steelers 9. They good defense. If the run game is anything there, it just seems that it would be an upset if they didn't get there. They open at Giants, Broncos and Texans at home, at Titans, Eagles and Browns at home, and at Ravens. That is a manageable schedule.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about that Week 2 game. I want to see what Drew Lock and that offense looks like in Denver. And see how Drew Lock handles the Steelers defense.
I mean, Steelers could start 6-0.
Yeah, they typically start slow. Thank God they're not playing the Patriots. Although this will be the year to play the Patriots in Week 1, but
that's true. And then they close Redskins at Bills at Bengals, Colts at Browns.
I feel like just anecdotally,
that's a really good opener and closer though. Like I feel like there's if you look at the first 5 games and last 5 games. I think you've got 6 wins right there.
Jeez. All right. Well, we'll see. I do think anecdotally, as we go through these things, it feels like not very many teams are having a long stretch run at home. A lot of these teams look on the road. I don't think every team can be on the road, obviously, but just on the teams we've talked about, I think most of these guys are spending a lot of the last month on the road.
By the way, the Steelers don't have to leave travel. Oh, my goodness.
They don't travel far usually. Usually when Breach does that thing every year.
So after their bye, which is in Week 8, the furthest that they'll have to travel is either Dallas or Jacksonville. That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I think Dallas is probably farther.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I guess, Dallas and Jacksonville are probably equidistant. It's a Pythagorean. It's a triangle.
All right. We'll use the theorem that Sean talked about on the show yesterday. Figured out.
You can do the math on it at Buffalo,
B square equals
at Cincy, at Cleveland. I mean, that's their 5 road games in the second half of the season.
But the Cincy could be good. Cincy could be a 7-win.
But I'm just saying that's not a lot of traveling.
Right. Yeah. No, that's right.
Like, honestly, we don't know. Like, you might not be able to fly in December. Like, what if all these teams are having to lug on buses?
The Seahawks are going to spend 95% of the week on a bus.
I'm dead serious. What if that happens? It's unlikely because you have private aviation, but I mean, who the hell knows?
Well, let them take a train. They can sleep on the train. They can go through the walkthroughs on the train.
Shoot, before the freaking bye, the Steelers away games are at the Giants, at the Titans, Nashville Central Time, but then at Baltimore.
I think they had the second or third fewest travel miles after the Ravens and maybe one other team.
That is not a lot of traveling. I think over is the play here as well. If Ben's not healthy, you're probably hoping for a push.
You're hoping for Cam Newton real quick.
Be a good signing. The Browns over under. Here we are again. It's May and the Browns have a huge over under. 8.5 wins, over plus 100, under minus 120. Are you buying that the departure of the outhouse can open up some win totals for the Cleveland Browns?
If this team was called the Green Bay Packers and this was the over, you'd ask why is the over plus money? I mean, this is bonkers. I'm going under though, because I've seen this movie and I have no reason to believe this team is still going to, I think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach and a good fit and all those things. I don't know if owner Jimmy Haslam can get out of the way. And that's been the concern. I hope Andrew Berry has a ton of success, the GM, but until I see it, I'm not just going to blindly keep picking the Browns to do things that they have shown they're incapable of doing. So I'm going under 8.5, 8-8. The thing is, would probably be a moral victory for this team. I feel like the fans would feel like it's a step in the right direction. And
I don't think so. I think if they don't make the playoffs, fans will be pissed.
They won six games last year, right?
Yeah, but they lost their last three.
What was their expected win total?
It was.
It should be something like 8.5 or 9.
6.5.
Oh, that's on the points?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because remember, they got curb stomped by the 49ers, blasted by somebody else, right? The Ravens late in the year, and then lost by 10 to the Bengals in week 17.
Oh, they did. Oh, my God.
Humiliating. Yeah, I mean, they should have beat, like, the two losses out of the bye at New England, at Denver. They lost the Pats by 14, and they easily could have been in, they could have won, figured out a way to win that game with any sort of decent coaching.
Yeah.
And then at the Broncos, they lose by 5. Just tough spots. They ripped off 3 wins. Then they lose to the Steelers. And then they beat the Bengals next week and lost their last 3.
All right. I'm going under. Until I see something to change my opinion, and I think Odell's going to have a good year.
Oh, they also lost by 30 to the Titans in week 1. I forgot about that.
I remember
that was like, that was the oblique moment for every Browns fan where they're like, oh my God, what if, and I was, you know, peacocking on the podcast because it's like, hey, look, what if this team comes out of the gate slow and like doesn't look great? And then they got this tough stretch, you know, in the middle and it was 100.
By the way, that wasn't red hot Ryan Tannehill. That was Marcus Mariota throwing. I think he had 3 touchdowns in that game.
I think Baker threw a couple pick sixes.
He threw a couple picks. I don't know how far they got returned, but I remember watching that game thinking, well, here we go. Same old, same old.
He had definitely had one. It was that fourth quarter. And they were winning 15-13 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter and lost 43-13. That's pretty hard to do.
Got Mariota'd.
Yeah. Derrick Henry caught a 75-yard touchdown pass from Mariota. Delanie Walker caught 2, and then Malcolm Butler took one to the house. And just all of a sudden, you're just.
Welcome to the Freddie Kitchens era.
That's right. Okay. Their schedule-wise for the Browns. Whew. At Ravens, Bengals, Redskins, at Cowboys. You have to beat the Bengals and Redskins at home. If you lose, because you're not beating the Ravens, you're not beating the Cowboys on the road.
When's that Cowboys game? What week is that?
Week 4.
What if they beat the Cowboys? That's when things are going to be like, okay, the Browns are doing it.
No. If you're 2-1 going to the Cowboys, you beat the Cowboys, yeah, then you're like that. If you're 0-3 going to the Cowboys or 1-2 going to the Cowboys, you get Colts at home, at Steelers, at Bengals, Raiders at home. There should be 4 wins in that first 8. You need to be 4-4.
Yeah, I want to see what there's so many, like the Raiders are going to be an interesting team to watch at that point too. Is Mariota going to be there? Is it going to be their car? Is it going to be better? Whatever.
You can't get swept by the Bengals in the first half. I'll tell you that much.
Oh gosh.
You need 2 wins against the Bengals, 1 against the Redskins, and 1 against either the Raiders or Colts in the first half of the season. If you want to be a playoff team. Because on the back half, they get Texans at home, Eagles at home, at Jags, at Titans, Ravens, and then they play in the MetLife Stadium in back-to-back weeks at Giants, at Jets, and then close with the Steelers. There's 9 wins on the table for them if they're good. If they're well coached and Baker Mayfield plays well, there's 9 wins on the table.
What was their over-under 12 months ago?
9.
Are you kidding me? It was 9? Nope. Sweet Jesus.
I'll take the over here.
Okay.
I'm already regretting it. the Bengals over under 5 wins, over minus 155, under plus 135.
I'm going over. I'm not even going to hesitate. They would have won 5 games on the dot, I feel like, if they hadn't benched Andy Dalton last year.
What? They were crap on my guy.
When did they bring in Ryan Finley?
If they're 0-8.
Oh, that's when they brought him in. They were 0-8. But they would have beaten the Steelers for sure. So that's 3 wins right there. But I think, Joe Burrow is obviously better than Ryan Finley and Andy Dalton probably put together. Even if it takes some time to learn the offense. But the Cardinals went 5-10-1 last year?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that we can see that type of, I think the defense is better and has a chance to be better in Cincy. It's not better, but they drafted some guys and signed a bunch of guys that can make the defense better. The offense has playmakers, and I think Joe Mixon, if he's there, that's great in terms of helping out Joe Burrow. But I think Joe Burrow is going to get it pretty quickly. I think in much the same way Kyler didn't really struggle either. I mean, he has moments, but he wasn't like, oh my God, this is the worst pick ever. I think it's going to be a similar type.
I might flip on the Browns and take the Browns under. No, well, I think it makes a difference. Like, I think your decision on the Bengals versus the Browns and who can adjust to which coach the quickest can sort of influence your
win totals.
Right. I mean, because they play the Browns in week 2 and week 7.
So I don't think the Browns are going to sweep them.
I don't either, but I think the Bengals might sweep them.
Well, I actually, what are the odds on that?
Oh, I don't know. Be a two.
Just the Brenton odds.
The Bengals would be dogs in both games, so let's say 5-1.
Ooh, I'd take that. 100%. I'd take 5-1 on that.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they'd definitely be big dogs going into Cleveland, and then if they win, then they would. But like right now, they'd probably be dogs in both games. I think the Chargers in week 1 for Cincy is a great litmus test. I think they could win that game.
Yep.
At Cleveland, I think is winnable. I don't think they'll win at Philly. Jaguars at home is, I mean, like they could be, what if they're 3-1 out of the gate? You got over 5. You're doing a dance party because in the second half of the season, they're 3-game stretch where they're at Washington, Giants at home, at Dolphins.
Breach is going to be doing the podcast naked.
Yeah. I mean, now they got some tough games on here, but this is a, so this is a 6 or 7 win season if Joe Burrow plays really well.
The only thing is, and we're underselling just how bad at calling plays Zach Taylor was last year.
Yeah, he wasn't impressive.
So that we'll see if he gets better because.
So they were a 4.4 expected win team last year.
What was the over under? Probably wasn't much better than that.
6 per Debo.
6. Okay, so somewhere between 4.5 and 6. Yeah, that gets you 5. Boom, done.
It does. Hold on, let me tell you. 6. Whew, I think they were 0-7 in one score games last year.
There you go. So they're the opposite of the Packers. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team you want to buy in on, I think. Got really unlucky last year, banged up, getting Jonah Williams back. I like this over a lot. You want 5. You don't want 5.5.
Mm-mm.
Because you want to be able to push at 5. But they're going to get 4 wins on here. I just think Joe Burrow is that pro ready. So, I would absolutely be taking the over on that one. Ryan, anything that you like from the AFC North, future pool here? Ravens -180, Steelers roughly 3-1 to win the division, Browns 5-1, Bengals 30-1, AFC winner, Ravens +325, Steelers 12-1, Browns 20-1, Bengals 100-1. And Super Bowl winner, Ravens 6.5-1, Steelers 25, Browns 40, Bengals 200.
I mean, I take all the plus money on the Ravens. I mean, you can still bet them to win the division too at -180, but.
I don't think -180 is a bad price for them.
So take all the Ravens. I mean, that seems pretty easy.
Yeah. I actually like the Bengals at 30-1.
Okay. I'll take that bet. I'll take that bet too.
I mean, I'm sure you will, but I mean, let's say you're putting, you know, I mean, you're putting 25 on it. You're talking about 750 back. The logic here is that Joe Burrow is ready to roll out of the gate. He's got a ton of weapons. The Bengals defense takes a step forward. The offensive line did bad. Joe Mixon plays well. Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski don't get on the same page. Ben Roethlisberger's elbow is crunked up, and Lamar Jackson gets hurt.
Yeah, you
That's
need.
It's not some, that. It ain't that crazy a formula.
You need a lot of things to happen.
4 things.
Yeah, but one of those things.
Three of which is like the Lamar Jackson thing is just you're. Again, you're not rooting for injury, but like that's sort of what you're betting on.
Well, the biggest ask could be Joe Burrow playing lights out.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's 30-1, like you'd like to say.
Okay. All right. That's the AFC North, NFC North podcast. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Follow Ryan Wilson on Twitter at Ryan Wilson CBS. Check out the podcast on Twitter as well. @PickSixPod on Instagram and Twitter. John Breach will be back. We'll be here tomorrow for the NFC South and AFC South. Talk to you guys later.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!